My heart skips skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Hey, thanks for listening to Suicide Buddies. We just want to say right now, before we start this episode, we tell jokes about suicide, suicidal thoughts, and depression on this show. They can get real dark. And that's because we've been there, and it's how we cope with it. We hope it'll help you. It's not because we think suicide is a joke or that it would be funny if anyone committed suicide. So please just know that going into this show. And if you're experiencing suicidal thoughts or want to commit suicide, don't do it and call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline right now. The number is 1-800-273-TALK. They're always there. They will talk to you. They know what you're going through. They will hear you. Please stay here with us on Earth. We're glad you're alive and enjoy the show.
You know just what to do when I look at you, and I don't want to go. They call me on the phone and won't leave me alone when I don't want to go. Doesn't matter what they say.
Aristotle, what did you do?
If I do this with the mic,
Aristotle brought microphones this time that have these big foam covers.
Yeah, dude, they have a foreskin.
break down all the wind.
They have a big old foreskin to keep the wind out.
There's so much wind in my apartment, dude.
Did you know that that's why penises have a foreskin?
To
keep the wind out. Yeah, because wind will infect your penis. From back when people didn't wear pants.
What? Oh, my God. Did you know that butt cheeks are to keep wind in? If you didn't have butt cheeks, your ass would just constantly have air
coming out.
But
farting is so good. What's bad about it?
What's bad about it?
God is stupid.
The environment.
Intelligent design my ass. Pun intended.
Pun Nintendo.
Pun Nintendo. Super Nintendo.
Oh, no. This is awful.
Yeah.
Dave, I was just in my car. Was I? And then I was...
How were you?
Exactly. I knew you'd do something. So I was beating you to the punch.
Yeah, but I still won.
I was just remembering the first time I ever heard the word suicide was when I was a kid and I would watch the movie.
And your dad was like, you should kill yourself.
No, that I got.
Oh, yeah, you didn't say the word suicide.
I didn't hear the word suicide.
Sure.
I just took him at his literal...
And you saw this, and you're like, Daddy, what's suicide? And he was like, you fucking know.
Okay, funny.
So what was the first time you heard it?
I was watching Home Alone, and I'd seen Home Alone a bunch of times, but there's this line where they're chasing Kevin. Remember that movie? It's about a bunch of robbers who want to, suck off a kid. So they're chasing him, and, you know, they... By the third movie,
this kid who tortures these pedophiles.
Yeah, as I remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, and at the end, he ends up actually fucking this old man who shovels snow.
He gets flown out to New York City next to then go fuck him in
because he made it.
And then the third movie, he's just gone. You know, they killed him. They finally got him.
Yeah, they fucked him to death.
I think it's funny that it's like it's just a kid tricking hardened criminals and they're like, we want to kill this kid.
Yeah,
like that's the entire context of the movie, is these thieves want to level up to murderers.
Totally. And he tortures them. Yeah, it's basically like,
yeah, it's awesome.
I'm not gonna say it was a prequel, but it was definitely like it laid the groundwork for Hostel.
I know it's based off of the Bible, but I just don't know which parts.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So in the movie, they chase him upstairs, and then like he's gone from the bedroom window. They're like, whoa, what? You know, looking out the window, and they're like, what happened to him? And one of them goes, maybe he committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, I literally thought it meant like sewer related, because he says it's like he committed suicide.
Maybe he committed suicide.
I was like, yeah. He jumped in a sewer?
He was always committing pizza side and deli side, but maybe he committed suicide. Or
what is he, a ninja
street
turtle?
Corner side. I'm just saying New York shit.
I like New York.
We don't
dude.
Have sewers
dude,
here.
Never disrespect New York in front of me.
No, absolutely. Well, you
the
run
Statue
New York.
Statue of Liberty's my fucking lady.
Your bitch.
I was gonna say you bitch, were, but I respect your, her.
I saw the way your lips
I respect
were moving.
Her.
Who?
Actually, somebody wrote a couple nice reviews of us recently on iTunes, and
nice.
It's funny. Like a couple times, it's like. Turns out they're actually pretty feminist. Like in their
oh, view. Weird.
And I'm always like, you should go to the episode where Dave just says cunt for no reason 100 times in a row.
Wait, did I do that?
I think it's the Don Cornelius episode.
I say cunt a lot? Really?
It might not be that
episode. I don't
episode.
Even remember that. I don't
you
think
you were so gacked up, dude. You don't even remember.
I don't think I ever did that, Hampton.
It was a bit. It's funny.
I definitely didn't
good
do
bit.
That.
Good bit.
No, I'm going to call it right now. That didn't happen.
Do not scan our archives.
Fake news.
If it's not happening right now, it's not real.
That's funny. I guess, yeah, if you listen to our show, we'll go a handful of episodes not talking about our politics, and you're just hearing us being like, you know how farting fucks children or whatever? Just like the beginning of this episode where we're like,
yeah, yeah.
That, those pedophiles should have won or
dude,
whatever we said 10 seconds ago.
I said it. I'm the guy going to jail.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to bring this audiophile into court with me because, Your Honor, context.
You are an audiophile.
dude, I'm an audio slave, dude.
Well, to be I'm yourself is all that you can do. But just you. I can do other things.
How have we not talked about Audio Slave after all we've talked about Rage Against the Machine?
Well, because we're nothing like a stone.
Does he compare himself
I'm
like
sorry.
A stone?
He That's goes, their first big single.
I thought
In
it was Cochise was their first
for
one.
For you there.
No, their first single
like
was...
Like a stone.
Their first single was... When I've been walking...
Oh,
while
God.
You've been down.
Oh, no.
I used to play that like loud boombox to get my brother to come out of his room because we would fight and then he'd run in his room and I couldn't like beat him up. And so I would just put my speakers right up a thing and I just blast that for like 2 hours.
That's so funny. Did he hate that song?
Do what?
Did he hate that song?
I think it was just the loudest thing I could think of.
Wow.
That I could play. I should have thought of Annoying. Dude. I should have played Barbie Girl. That would have got him out right away.
Oh, man. Yeah. The Homegrown cover of Barbie Girl. You guys listen to Homegrown?
No.
No? Come on, man.
What's that, weed?
Yeah, man.
What are you
I'm talking about weed that plays
weed?
Music.
Weed makes music now?
What an idiot.
Dude, weed is so lame now. It just makes music.
To be your thumb is all that you can do. That is an Audio Slave song, and it is the most boring song.
I really liked them, but it's funny because they
no,
were.
Oh, you don't.
Oh, I really liked them at the time.
No.
And it's funny because to me, Rage Against the Machine just sucked, but they
what?
Were kind of trying to be political, like Audio Slave. They were like, we're playing Cuba.
Right.
What? I was like, well, good for you. Like, you just want to play it.
You thought Rage Against the Machine sucked?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I fucking loved Rage Against the Machine.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
How have we talked about them 500 times and this has never come
That's
up?
That's so weird. We both assumed, damn, you hated Rage and you liked Audio Slave. That's
yeah, absolutely.
So crazy to me.
I think that, I mean, Chris Cornell's a better vocalist. And honestly, I do like Tom Morello's playing. Like,
sure.
I think he's a really inventive player. I like a lot of the playing in Rage Against the Machine. But Rage Against the Machine are shitheads. Like, it's the Zach De La Roche. It's
oh,
a
no, no.
Shithead.
I mean, that's everything I've said about him being ridiculous, I stand by. Mm. And because I was young when I first heard the music, and I was like, fuck yeah. Finally, someone who believes this shit is getting into the mainstream. And then after a while, you're just like, oh, yeah, this guy is too much.
I read a Bill Hicks quote once.
Yeah, totally. Like, it was when he specifically had that lyric, Jesus blessed me with his future. I was like, oh, wait a minute. You're on TRL. You know what I mean? You're
are
on
they?
TRL.
Yeah, they
oh,
are.
Definitely.
They were, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
By the way, guys, this is Suicide Buddies.
This is Suicide Buddies. I'm Dave Ross, and that's Hampton Yunt.
I'm Hampton Yunt. This is a comedy mental health podcast. We talk about music probably too much.
Way too much.
Especially one specific band, Rage Against the Machine. But it's also a history podcast because later on in the pod, we'll be talking about a history and suicide and kind of analyzing what the fuck went down.
Yeah, and we're two people who used to want to kill ourselves. And so we've been there, and we deal with it through comedy, and so that's why we have this show now. Stop interrupting me, like, right before the end of the sentence. I wish you would interrupt me at the beginning of the sentence, so I wasn't so prepared to say the full sentence. You know what, you know what I mean? It's always like, I'm almost done.
Well, I'm glad, Dave. I'm glad that somebody who used to think about killing themselves can find the time to get annoyed by such small things. But us people who currently deal with depression, I guess you can't ever understand our struggle.
That's true. You're right. What I meant was, I feel great all the time now.
And I'm doing this podcast with a gun in my mouth. That's morbid, but...
No, it's funny.
I like it.
I was laughing on the inside.
I love it when people laugh on the inside. Dude.
Yeah, dude. It's super great, especially at shows.
Yeah, keep that shit away from me. Keep it inside.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, if it's your first time to the show, you're going to hear us joking around a lot about dark shit, but that's because we're here with you. Speaking of which, we have a couple announcements. The first is, and we said this last week, we are officially on Twitter and tweeting. So follow us on Twitter at BuddiesPod.
That's
we're
going
to be writing tweets now. And
yeah, it's not at Suicide Buddies. We'll maybe change it somewhere down the road, but right now it's at Buddies Pod.
Yeah, if Tom Morello would finally change his handle from at Suicide Buddies to Tom Morello.
It's some girl in the middle of nowhere has like,
oh no,
at Suicide Buddies.
She should listen to the show.
I don't want her. Honestly, if you took our name,
just fuck you, dude.
Just fuck you.
Fuck you, dude. Fucking do it.
Especially if you took it before we even started our podcast and could probably sue us. I don't know.
And here's another big thing, big time Suicide Buddies announcement.
Oh, this
Ayo, wow. We've been talking about this forever. Check out how long it takes us to do stuff. We started a Facebook group. We've been wanting to do it for a while. I really don't know why we didn't, but we have a Facebook group now. It's a closed group. We have to approve you, but we'll approve everybody.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to be in the group, but we definitely won't be able to be in there as much as you all collectively will be. So when people start jumping in, approve them, add them to the group. It's facebook.com/groups/suicidebuddies.
Get
pretty
in the
easy
zone.
To remember. Suicide Buddies.
Facebook zone. Get in the zone.
Get in the book. Facebook.
Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah.
Finally. I'd never heard of Facebook until somebody finally found a way to promo it.
Start a group. Auto group.
Do you want Russia to have all your information? Join our suicide group.
Yeah, we've been colluding with Facebook to bring you a group.
Yeah, you're going to start getting targeted ads. See,
yeah.
Join us for the suicide, but then Russia's going to start hacking you, and they're going to be like, oh, thinking about suicide? Maybe you want to suicide bomb for Russia.
And I do want to say real quickly about the... I'm sorry. That was really funny.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
It really wasn't.
I laughed 10 seconds into what I was saying, so it must have been, dude. Anyway, episode's over. I do want to say about the group real quickly. I wrote this in the description of the group. But yeah, let's all like... I don't want to say police it together, but monitor it together and make it like... Except... anyone who's in the group can accept people into the group, and let's use it as a place to share things about the show, but also share experiences with suicidal thoughts, thoughts on suicide and depression, and to like, I don't know, have it be like a welcoming environment focused on listening where we also make dark jokes. So, you know, like bring people into the group, tell your friends about it, post things in there. Don't be a fucking dick to people.
That would be the weirdest place to start fights on a Facebook group. Where we're openly talking about suicide. It's like, you used a noose? What are you, a piece of shit?
Yeah, don't.
Why don't you use some nerd rope? It's a candy.
You're a... I shouldn't.
That's how an Oompa Loompa kills himself at the Wonka Factory. He uses nerd rope.
Yeah.
I OD'd on nerds.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Wouldn't that hurt your neck, though? No, this is important to say because I do. Yeah. You've heard this show. I want it to be a place where people can joke around the way we joke around at the show, but there's a fine line between making dark jokes and being mean to people.
Yeah,
and we need to know the difference. Don't be mean, or we'll kick you out of the group. No assholes. It's a place for people to feel safe because we're trying to make people feel like they should stay alive. That's all I wanted
to say. Only be mean to Zach De La Roche.
Yeah, dude.
He's the only guy who can't join if he sends us a request. Denied.
Fuck that, man. We need him in the group so bad. We can kick him out. You know what I mean?
I don't like his politics. I don't like his liberal ideas. I don't like his fucking haircut. I don't like that fucking patchouli stench coming out of this hippie over here.
Who are you now?
I don't know, man.
What is this?
My politics are now just nihilism.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We're all going to be dead in 25 years.
I am dead.
Oh, fuck.
And it is 25 years from now.
Weekend at Davies. You're dead, but I still make you do the podcast.
That's Weekend at Davies. That should be a podcast. Who's dead? Let's think of someone who's dead and start a podcast with them. We got it. Step one, exhume the corpse. Step two, fucking count our money, dude. No, but who's dead?
It's not real if it's not a real dead person.
No, yeah. I know.
We have to literally dig someone up.
Pick some. There's got to be someone who died.
Aren't cemeteries kind of bothering? Do they ever bother you? I just find so stupid to just, here's all the bodies laid out in rows.
Yeah.
You can find his name. It's like the phone book, and you can find his name.
Yeah. That's why when I die, I want my ashes to be put in the electronics section at Target.
I want my ashes thrown in the face of Sarah Palin. At John McCain's funeral.
Should we get Smash Brothers or should we get Dave Ross's ashes for the Switch? Thrown in Sarah Palin's face. Hell yeah, dude. I want all my friends to roll my ashes into a joint and then kill themselves. No, I don't. I don't want that.
How do you feel about the whole like New Orleans style funeral thing where they make it a party?
And they put it in a cake or something? What do they do?
Oh, what?
No, wait. That's
Shut
a different thing.
Shut the fuck up.
That's all
put
other.
In a cake. What, a stripper
thing? I was thinking of a king cake. It's a whole other thing where there's a baby in the cake. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It'd be so funny if you only knew how to bake by putting strippers in cakes.
Yeah.
So you're on like.
You got to bake around
like,
a stripper tube.
You're on like Cupcake Wars. Like Cupcake Wars, and you're like, you're just chopping up a stripper into small parts to put them in the little cupcakes.
Right. What?
You follow me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how you're like a mass murderer?
Well, say you can't make the giant stripper cake and you just have to do.
If it were me, I would just get a tiny stripper. I wouldn't cut up a big stripper.
God damn it. Why did I murder that woman? I should have just gotten a 2-inch high stripper.
Well, it's because you got the new Kia and it has a big trunk.
Oh, man. Thumbelina's my stripper for tonight.
Wasn't there something you wanted to talk about?
I think it was suicide.
Oh, yeah, the thing about Home Alone. Yeah.
That was the first time I'd heard of it ever. I was wondering if maybe, you know, you had any specific memory. That's the thing is, I really remember specifically being like, suicide, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And I didn't say fuck. I was like six or whatever.
Yeah. What the fudge is that? Man, shut the front door. What is suicide?
I was a fat kid. I did always talk about fudge.
You have chocolate all around your mouth. What is suicide?
I'm busy eating fudge.
Y'all seen The Simpsons? Come on.
And suddenly all the fudge was out of my life and a dark cloud was over me from that day on. The minute I knew the truth.
Fudge eater. Fucking fudge eater.
Oh, man.
Man.
Fudge Packer is like the funniest fucking dumb slur.
It's so funny. I like to call people butt fucker because.
I think we've talked about this.
Yeah, well, I think we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
Because everyone is. Everyone is. You know, literally everyone definitely is a butt fucker. I mean, you just are. At some point, you will be.
What? What do you mean?
Most people
are a butt fucker?
Either have anal sex or want to.
Whoa.
Right?
Dave Ross, HBO's Real Sex.
I've never had anal sex.
I like
truly,
that you're
I
like, every time has to be anal.
Every, yes. Not only do I have anal sex, it's fucking mandatory.
Nothing else. You're like, no, like, I don't like blowjobs. I don't like vaginal. I just do. Like, one extreme individual.
No, I truly, that's I've never so had funny. Anal sex. And also, I've never, like, even asked for it. But people want to have anal sex.
Sure.
So everyone's a buttfucker, is what I'm saying. So you can call someone a buttfucker. It's like an evergreen statement to make about somebody. How is it? How is what I'm saying crazy?
It's on the line.
You're definitely a buttfucker, right?
Is a buttfucker.
Are you or are you not a buttfucker?
I am.
So? All right, Aristotle. Buttfucker, yes or no?
Jojo, where's my cat?
Yes, right? Yeah, see?
Well, like I said, that's
and
like,
I guess I'm not, but I will be at some point, I'm sure.
Eventually, I'll make love to a woman vaginally when I feel mature enough.
I'm not saying only.
No, I'm saying only.
Okay.
Why were you possibly misconstruing that?
Well, but before you were calling me crazy for saying it's universal. I think it's undeniably universal. I think it's the thing that binds us all.
Wow, Morgan Freeman over here.
I think
we all know that
fucks
at the end
butts
of the day,
or wants their butt fucked.
The universe.
And everyone likes dogs.
The universe is always mutually bonded by the concept of ass fucking, sucking ass.
You're not women. Going to agree that that's true.
I still am a little fuzzy on what you're trying to say.
I don't think it's complicated.
Everyone is a butt fucker.
Basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess in a court of law, I'll fight that.
Why would you? Why? What do you dispute about that statement?
I guess, Dave, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, uh-huh. I contend to you, not everyone is a butt fucker. I know. Boo. Boo.
Are you
get
saying
him
that
out of here.
If you get fucked in the butt, then you're not a butt. You're a fucked butter.
Either or.
Okay, fine. Everyone's a butt fucker or a fucked butter.
A fucked butter. Anyway, join our Facebook group if you're a butt fucker or a fuck bucker.
No, it's pronounced fucked butter.
Fucked butter. I think they get it.
Yeah, I think they get it.
I think you guys get it.
Who are we talking about this week, bro?
Today we're going to be talking about an actress who killed herself, and her name is Jean Seberg. And we'll get into her. She was basically a famous actress for kind of the French New Wave of cinema.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. She's a very
interesting
person.
By the way, dude, I just bought a copy of A Farewell to Arms in slow preparation of doing Hemingway.
Oh, cool, soon. Man.
Yeah, Anton and I have been talking about how we should start digging into the big famous suicides like Hunter S. Thompson and Hemingway and Virginia Woolf and shit like that.
But
so.
I was saying, I was like, I just feel like I need to read a
gotta
little
read
bit
them,
of
yeah.
stuff before I can talk about the big ones.
That's the thing. That's the reason we haven't done the big ones, because I want to make sure we have a whole, like a full story and description of them. So Hemingway might even be a few episodes.
Plus, I'm illiterate, and Dave's teaching me how to read.
Yeah.
This is the learning podcast. And
yeah,
Dave,
I'm a butt fucker, and he can't read.
Dave teased which letter he's going to teach me today. I think it's a P.
It's an A. It's day one. So what's your name again?
Jean Seberg.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Doesn't matter what they say, 'cause I'm gonna get my way if I don't wanna go.
And a one, and a two, and a one. Hey.
Dave. I never know how to start.
I was
trying to find my cat because I was like, that guy, I don't know. He sucks.
He doesn't suck. That's not nice. Your cat's great in every way.
He sucks, man.
He looks
like
that.
He's racist.
That's pretty weird.
He voted for Trump.
What? He can vote?
Of course. He's a cat.
What?
Dude, cats got the vote before women, before black people.
Wait, I don't even know what that word was. I've never heard anything pronounced that way before in my entire life. Oh, that's cool that cats can vote. I guess PETA was right. Animals are people, too.
So this PETA week, was right.
Yeah. We're talking about Jean Seberg, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah, this Seberg. Actress. Yeah, I was bringing up the movie she was in later on in life, Paint Your Wagon, which is a real fiasco.
Oh, really? It's a bad movie?
It's a shitty bad movie. Shitty bad. And it's terrible. But she kind of got her start like doing this like French New Wave black and white cinema.
Oh, okay.
And so her story's pretty interesting. She's an actress, of course.
And she died because she was the Seberg that the Titanic ran into, right?
You, one, are illiterate. Two, confidently wrong.
Wait, no.
The Titanic which is more upsetting.
Crashed into a Seberg.
Iceberg!
Seberg! Iceberg. Ice ahead!
It's just Jean Seberg floating in
you know
the,
what, guys?
Like a huge version of her.
Pause this episode and check out our Titanic episode for any of this to
yeah,
make sense.
The boat killed itself.
That boat was like, if I have to listen to Celine Dion one more time, I'm going to blow my brains out.
I'm really sick of this Jack dude.
Jack and Rose, man, they're the new Romeo and Juliet.
Paint me like one of your French boats.
The kind of boats that have tits on them?
Okay.
That was kind of a brazen move of Titanic to like show nudity.
Boobs?
They showed boobs. It was yeah. a PG-13 movie.
What's more brazen, having boobs in Titanic or putting Billy Zane in Titanic?
I will never fucking come down on the Zane man because...
Oh, you're a Zanester?
I'm in Zane for the Zane. Yeah. I'm an Inzaniac. Dude.
I'm in Zane in the Mem Zane.
No, I feel so much empathy for him because like he was in Titanic and he was in The Phantom, that really bad...
I remember that.
Pulp action comic book movie.
That building hasn't been there in 40 years.
No, that was The Shadow.
Oh, shit.
Same shit.
Fuck!
Same shit, though. So, anyway,
was that the one with Alec
Baldwin?
He had the biggest
payday, and then his wife left him. And
oh,
then
man.
So the California alimony laws is that he had to pay her still like $1 million a year.
Damn.
And like
didn't get any work after that.
Yeah, it's like the two, you know, he was in Titanic, which was good, but his starring role flopped, and they don't
Fuck.
Give you a lot of you know, chances.
Sounds like his personal life crashed into an iceberg.
There you go. Hey, Billy Zane, if you've ever wondered what your depression was all about, it was like you crashed into an iceberg. I hope you've, you know, learned something and gotten something out of this podcast, Billy Zane.
I'm sorry, Billy Zane. I do have empathy for you. That sucks. Same thing happened to Dave Foley.
I know.
He and got divorced at the height of news radio, episode, right? Yeah. When his quote as an actor and writer was the highest, and then the show ended. God.
Yeah.
God, that's
anyway,
hard.
Yeah, I also have no idea how they were in their personal relationship, so I can't really...
That's true. They could have been pieces you know,
maybe he was in,
shit.
Maybe he was in Zane. Come on. More? Less?
No, all I'm right. with it entirely. Are you
okay.
kidding me? That's exactly the type of humor I like.
So, the world of... theater! The world of drama, Dave. This is very much related to Jean Seberg.
Oh, wow.
She was born in Iowa, really small town. But so you kind of wouldn't
New
associate...
New York City.
Well, you wouldn't... you just wouldn't associate somebody with Iowa as being like one of the faces of French New Wave cinema.
Totally.
It's like this girl from literally nowhere.
Yeah, Iowa's yeah. not in France. I am from Des Moines.
Is she a potato?
The city of Des Moines.
It's a potato.
That's definitely Idaho, but okay.
But Iowa also has potatoes, Dave. The United States in general,
French.
They love potatoes.
They at least have a French fries.
I mean, freedom fries.
Freedom fries.
Freedom fries are my favorite type of fries.
And
fly.
I love the gay marriage.
What?
Iowa legalized gay marriage before any other state.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Iowa?
Iowa, first state, absolutely.
How the fuck?
Because it's like, it's a purple state. They're like really weird about
that's so cool.
About liberal politics. Oh, it's awesome. It's an awesome place. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then they have like a corn lobby that ruins our whole country. It's awesome.
Do you want to suck off Iowa some more?
I love, dude. Absolutely.
Give me a little bit more factoids.
Given the opportunity, sure. There's a yearly comedy festival in Des Moines, Iowa called Beast Village Comedy Festival that's amazing. Everyone should go to it.
Can I do it?
Yeah, I would imagine they'd have you, yeah.
Whoa.
Dan Umphen is the guy who runs it. Super funny comic.
Can I do it?
Every comedian listening to this, message Dan Umphen right now. Sorry,
tell him
Dan.
He lives in a purple, grim estate.
Tell him Dave said that you can do it.
All right,
I'm sorry, Dan.
Hey,
I love
you. You know what? I'm totally corrected wrong on my perception of maybe Iowa, but maybe that also lends into what her character was a little bit like.
Okay.
I don't know. Because she was very much embraced by French society, and she basically spent most of her time in France and then would sometimes have to come over to America to do pictures. But she was plucked from kind of like absolute obscurity because she was going to college for dramatic arts, and then she got cast. Like this total random casting for the Joan of Arc movie that was going to be made in France. And it was like really like there was, I don't know, like a lot of concern about the making of this film. They were like, how are we going to get the perfect woman for this iconic role? Like this is going to be the Joan of Arc movie in France, you know? So it's like they're
national
hero.
And you
know that
Joan of Arc was actually born in Iowa. So it's perfect.
Man, all witches come from Iowa.
So they're making this Joan of Arc movie, and they, of course, originally got Billy Zane, and he had to drop out because he was so broke.
Zane had to drop out.
Yeah, well, because he had
which was insane.
It wasn't enough money to pay his wife.
And who'd they give it to? Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen. And then he was like, but I'm a drummer. And so they
asked
Gene Seberg. They asked Gene Seberg, and she was like, I haven't gotten hit by a boat yet, so I'll do it.
So, okay, basically for this Joan of Arc movie, they put out a big talent search, and out of 18,000 people that they looked over, she got this role, and it changed her life. She immediately became a movie star.
Right.
But the movie was panned kind of immediately.
Really?
Really for crazy bullshit, too. This is like at a time where like literally they just had some like historical inaccuracies, and they were like,
oh, yeah, man.
This movie's a complete flop. Look at what they got wrong. But
Joan of Arc was faked. Yeah, man, they shot it. Stanley Kubrick shot the original.
You know who they got to get to play Joan of Arc? Jennifer Lawrence. That's
yeah,
the only. I need a down-to-earth Joan of Arc who like farts and is cool.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
She's like super relatable. I need like a chill Ronda Rousey Joan of Arc. Just farts is cool.
Why didn't they get Stormy Daniels?
I need like a Stormy Daniels Joan of Arc. She just like farts on dicks and she's cool. I don't think there's anything cooler than fucking
more like
our current
Joan of
president.
Farts.
Something I
did
really...
you hear me say Joan of Farts?
Wait. I want to make a really dumb point here. In regards to Stormy Daniels, I like a lot of what she's doing legally. It's very fun and fun.
But you
to watch.
Don't like what she's doing anally.
No. But I think something has to be said that she had sex with Donald Trump because she, end quote, said that he was charming.
Right.
That to me is baffling.
I know.
It's like you really thought he was so charming. You just had to have sex with.
I mean, that's what happens with all these crazy fucking guys.
I'm like,
they like
wow.
Walk up to people and they're like, hey, I'm nice, right?
I don't know.
It's a lie. You'll find out it's a lie, but I'm nice.
I've only had anal. I don't really know how actual sex goes.
Okay, so...
All right, so...
So she's in the Joan of Farts movie and it gets panned because there were actually no farts in history.
There was no pancakes in the Joan of Arc movie.
Yeah. Cake farts...
So
more
she,
like
she gets kind of like upset, of course, because, you know, it's like negative attention. And she also doesn't, she's really put into the public eye suddenly. Like all these French publications are writing about her and they're like, her performance is awful. Like we hate her.
Whoa.
Yeah. Everyone shits on her performance.
Bummer, dude.
And she gets crazy bummed about that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a, through her life, there's a history of just depression.
Sure.
She's an actress. I mean, it kind of, you know, creative arts, sometimes that just goes par for the course.
Yeah.
But
she's an iceberg.
What, like the lettuce? Iceberg lettuce, right ahead. He's just pointing to the buffet. The buffet on the Titanic.
And everyone's like, yay! We love lettuce. Sick of this romaine shit.
And then the boat crashed.
It's funny because a lot of reviewers ever, you know, Joan of Arc, they go like, Joan of Arc was burned at the stake and her career was burned at the stake. Like, they're just French assholes writing about her like total dicks.
That's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Shitty fucking movie critics. God.
Yeah. So
when a movie critic is being a dick and can't write is the worst thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it translates well in French, but I also think it's a little bit of a snotty attitude more so.
Totally.
It's just like, I don't know how beautifully he wrote that, but it sounds like a shithead.
Yeah.
Sounds like a real piece of shit.
It's a cop out.
So when she moves to France, she gets her first husband, and they divorce pretty quick.
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane. They divorce the same year she gets her comeback picture very quickly.
It's Titanic.
In the span of this time, it's only been 1956 was when Joan of Arc came out. Or sorry, it came out in 1957. And then she got the role for this movie probably 1959, and it came out 1956. And the movie's Breathless.
Wait, what? She got it in 1959, and you,
I'm just saying she had
out,
like
a, no, you, it, you said a weird date. You said she got it in 59, and it came out 56? You mean it came
sorry,
out 60?
Sorry,
61?
60.
60, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Just checking. I just time travel. I was just confused.
Yeah, so the same year that she gets divorced from this new husband that she's met in France, she releases this movie called Breathless.
Okay.
That's a Godard film.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's one of those like Criterion movies, you know?
Sure.
This is one of those, you know, it's good because it's a Criterion.
Yeah, like it's on Filmstruck.
Oh, yeah. you know it's good. Dude, you know what Criterion needs to add? Fucking Home Alone.
Thank you.
Predator.
Uh-huh.
Predator 2.
Absolutely.
Alien versus Predator.
Do not stop.
Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Keep going.
And Predators.
Could not agree more.
And The Predator that just came out.
Oh, absolutely.
And To Catch a Predator. Oh. Criterion should add To Catch a Predator also. And you know what? Lock up all your directors, Criterion, because they were all fucking underage girls as far as I'm concerned.
No.
You don't think?
I mean, I don't know, but there are definitely a bunch of fucking art house directors that have
take my side
been outed as pieces of shit lately. Drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, so this is like a stellar performance and is like one of these films that really starts like French New Wave cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And so the haircut that she already had in Joan of Arc is very similar to what I think she had in Breathless, and it becomes like a fashion icon thing. Like, girls are constantly doing this very short haircut. It's called like the pixie girl haircut.
Yeah.
And it really is like the start of like the manic pixie girl, like,
oh, really?
Thing. Yeah, because all these cinema movies are about like, this woman, she's amazing. She makes me forget about my boring wife. Like, you know, it's like Italians and French people just wanted to fuck during the 60s.
Uh-huh.
So all these movies are just about like their dicks and, you know.
Right, and this manic pixie dream girl that saves them from their wife.
Sure, she's enigmatic. She's amazing. She knows poetry.
She knows poetry. Her father was a book. Her mother was a piano.
All right, I like this. All right, I'll give you another one. Zoe Deschanel, what were her parents?
Oh, wow.
Ukulele.
Yeah, yeah, her mother was a ukulele.
And a summer abroad.
And her father was a field.
All right. I like it. So this kind of ignites her career, and she's doing pretty well for a while. She's sure. In a lot of films.
She's pixie as all fuck,
she's
dude.
She's pixie as all
she's kind
goddamn
of a pixie
fuck.
Pixie stick.
But
really thin and filled with sugar.
This story is again one of those ones where somebody's getting harassed and by the government, actually.
Huh.
And it's really crazy. Dang. Because like in 1969, man landed on the moon. Fucking everything happened. Yeah. Blah, 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 1969.
In
1911. Dude, did people 69 for the first time in 1969? Did they bust in each other's mouths for the first time?
Simultaneously?
Wait. Like the yin yang?
Like before then, did they have to go one and then the other? But now it's together?
Sometimes I look at the yin yang symbol and I think, wow, they're busting in each other's mouths. Dark forces and light forces.
That's what those dots are, dude.
Straight up busting.
Cum in the other side.
Yeah.
I like it when, my religion is when there's cum in the other side.
All right. America's fucked up. 1969. I think that's the year also Kennedy got assassinated, but I can't. I'm probably wrong.
Also, it's a really funny number.
It's you're right. Well, Nixon at the time was really against the Black Panthers, and there tons of like government just surveillance happening. They were like harassing these guys and like infiltrating their groups and shit.
Big CIA presence in Wakanda.
Have you seen Black Panther?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Because that's true. That literally happens in the movie.
Well, there's one guy. There's one guy there.
Yeah, and he goes.
Yeah.
And he goes. Okay. He's like, oh, crikey, there's a lot of black people around, eh? He's not Australian, but he's got a weird accent in them. He's British, and I think he's doing an American accent.
Yes.
Everyone's doing a fucking insane accent in Black Panther.
Yes, totally.
Because they had to make up an accent for Black Panther, which I was pretty cool with.
It's not entirely made up. That's like what an African accent sounds like.
What is it that you are saying to me, Dave?
They're talking like Star Wars characters.
No, that's... the incredible enunciation in English is definitely what an African accent is.
I'm also like, why would they bother to learn English? They live in Wakanda all the time. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, so we can watch them talk.
I don't know. Anyway, the Black Panthers.
Are you saying that you didn't like that movie? Are you?
I loved it.
Wait.
No,
I just fucking find out.
Don't get me wrong. I loved it.
They did have a cool plane.
The Black Panthers, the political affiliation. The first Antifa, Black Antifa.
I would say that the first Antifa is Joan of Arc. Whoa. Cake farts.
Can we delete the part where Dave says anything funny? Oh. Just wondering.
Oh, damn.
Damn.
Hampton's getting jealous.
I do get jealous. I always get jealous.
You make me laugh all the time.
I'm always jealous of you.
Don't be stupid. You always make me laugh, you fucking idiot.
So basically, all Jean Seberg did was donate like $10,000 while she was riding high in her celebrity.
Uh-huh.
She had money to spend. She gave it to the Black Panthers.
Oh, wow.
Because at the time, they were really like promoting this giving children free breakfast program at schools. Like the Black Panthers have always been like a really just good
community,
community organization.
Yeah.
And it's the craziest thing that the fucking NRA has never once like stuck up for them. It's like, they're open carry. That's the fucking idea. But you don't like it when it's them. Hmm. So
that makes you think maybe the NRA is racist.
You know, I'm starting to suspect
that maybe there's something a little devious going on in the NRA.
It's possible. It's possible Donald Trump is old. It's possible he's rich.
Crazy.
It's possible he's racist.
The NRA, no. The organization that's like, we love guns. And everyone's like, why? And we're like, don't worry about it. We just want them.
I mean, just make the NRA spell the N-word from now on. Just do that.
It's spelled N-R-A. That's what they would say.
So they're being watched by the government, and she gives $10,000, and they just start harassing everyone associated with the Black Panthers.
She does?
The government does.
Oh, I see.
Starts harassing because she donated money.
Oh, right. Okay.
So she was caught in that net.
Yeah.
And people say she was... It's funny because it shouldn't have been the case, but she was hit like first and probably the hardest because she like lost her career. Like she got blacklisted essentially.
Damn.
From all Hollywood movies.
All American films. Wow.
From, it's this FBI group called the FBI COINTELPRO is what this organization is.
Inside catchy
of the
name.
FBI. Yeah. No. And they like fully admit, it's like, yes, there was a smear campaign. We'd call her. We'd like harass her. We'd send people to her house and be like,
what?
I'll kill you. Like shit like that.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And she's having trouble getting work. The French still kind of employ her.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's not enough. There's not enough French cinema to really be like a huge success
thing
and stay just there, you know.
Right. That's small country.
So the year also that she does that thing and she's getting the FBI picks up on it, 1969, she makes Paint Your Wagon with Clint Eastwood.
Interesting.
Yeah. She makes us, it's really weird.
So, and this is me clarifying just because I'm dumb, that she made that movie before they started harassing her?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, all right.
That's when the donation happened, and then the harassment proceeded over the next couple years.
I see.
And also, when you're filming something, they went to Oregon to go film Paint Your Wagon.
Okay.
So she's all alone in Oregon with Clint Eastwood. And
Is an Elliott Smith song.
So she has no idea that the FBI is doing shit or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
During this shoot for this insanely long movie.
That's a musical that I just found out Clint Eastwood sings in. I don't even know it was possible for him to sing.
Yeah,
I thought he just went,
Clint Eastwood was in a weird time, too, because he was coming off of doing all those spaghetti westerns.
Sure.
He's identified with that, but at that point, the
Make
western
my spaghetti
was fizzling
punk.
Out.
Hey, punk.
Hey, punk, make my spaghetti.
How much spaghetti do you think I got in this bowl? Well, make my ravioli.
Spaghetti or ravioli, punk? He just works at a restaurant.
So, you know, the Western's dying, and they're doing crazy shit now where, like, the studios are so inept. They're like, it's a three-hour-long musical Western. Like,
wow.
They just have no idea what they're doing.
Sure.
So this is right when the studio system's kind of failing, and this is before Clint Eastwood has Dirty Harry to kind of resurge his career.
Right, okay.
So he's floundering as fuck right now.
Sure.
And so he and her, Clint Eastwood and Gene, start hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
During this film, and
well, they're the only two people there.
I don't know, they're in the woods definitely, and they were like, well, he just liked to fuck and there was nothing to do, so that's what happened.
Wow.
She falls,
that's a crazy thing to say.
She falls very much in love with him.
Sure.
Problem is, she has a second husband at this time.
Oh shit.
Who's a French diplomat and author.
She and her first husband got divorced, or she has two husbands?
Oh, yeah, okay. She got divorced real quick. Remember, like, she got married and then divorced, like, within 2 years.
Right.
So this is her next husband that
got
she
it.
Met. And he's, like, a famous author. I'll get a little bit more into him. But he finds out that she's fucking Clint Eastwood, and he goes to the set. He flies to Oregon, and he challenges Clint Eastwood to a duel.
No fucking way. What?
Yeah, and Clint Eastwood's like, no, what? Like, he totally pussies out.
Of course.
And it's just, it's so funny. The guy who's maybe the most iconic for, like, shootout.
Tough guy.
Yeah,
tough
him
guy
and John
actor.
Wayne, you know? Like, and apparently John Wayne was a complete pussy, too. And, like, if a director ever criticized his performance, he'd go to his trailer and cry.
Wow.
Like, he would weep.
Wow.
So, both these tough guys, complete babies.
Wow.
And so, this dude's like, you know, you gotta call it off with Clint. And she's like, no, I love him. I'm in love with him. But this was just, like, a fucking fling for Clint Eastwood.
Oh,
and
no.
She says later on in life, she's like, I'm not, like, mad, but I was maybe a little naive, and I thought when somebody just said they loved you, and, like, you know, you didn't have to put any
proof. I think
proof.
That is worthy of being mad.
Yeah.
If he hadn't told her that he loved her, and she, like, let herself believe he did, that'd be one thing, but if he said, I love you too, fuck her, fuck that.
I think that's what was going
what
on.
What a fucking asshole.
And it's funny. Well, yeah, Clint Eastwood's a little bit of an asshole. He fucking...
No.
He was telling a story where he, like, I ran into her years later, and it was a real icy reception. Ooh. It's like, yeah, because you fucked over this woman and you ruined her marriage.
Yeah, dude.
Because you wanted to fuck in Oregon and you had nothing to do.
Why don't you go speak to another empty chair? I like it best when you do that.
What if I fuck this chair? And he just starts doing our stand-up. Y'all ever be fucking like this? He switches dry up in the stool. He's like pounding the mic on his leg, Chappelle style. Like, it's wild, man. Y'all do anal? Y'all just do anal? And then he's like this.
Where are my butt fuckers at?
Where's my Fuddruckers? Well, so all I'm just trying to paint is that this is the beginning of her life kind of falling into turmoil.
Sure.
She's divorced for the second time, which is painful. It's painful because she thought Clint Eastwood and her might work out. I'm not putting too much on that, but you know, that sort of thing sucks.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning, the FBI silently just, and also physically, or, you know, like coming to her place and harassing her. But she also didn't really know that she was being blacklisted. She had to just kind of put that together over time. You know, like, you don't understand why you're not getting... And the
It's hard to understand things like that when you're an iceberg.
Yeah. And the last movie she did was Paint Your Wagon, which was a fucking flop. And like,
was it a flop? Damn.
Yeah, no one really liked it. It was pretty bad.
Well, it's such a compelling name. It really makes me think that the movie is going to be interesting when it's called Paint Your Wagon.
Are they going to recode it?
Yeah, like...
Are they going to put on lacquer?
Oh, my God.
There's so many questions.
Oh, man, I booked this new movie. I'm so excited. It's called Where Are the Gutters?
It's the remake.
Put new gutters on.
It's the remake America's been waiting for. A Jerry Bruckheimer presentation. Paint your wagon.
Yeah, totally.
The wagons are now Transformers. They're just blowing up cities. Wagons.
Transformers.
The wagons! We have to paint them. We have to give them the code and the paint.
The newest Transformers. Optimus gets a new fireplace. Yeah, Bumblebee, get some wood.
Autobots, roll out.
I'm cold. Bumblebee, I'm cold.
One shall stand, the other shall fall.
Dude, the Transformers animated movie from the 80s has some of the most iconic
it's awesome.
Lines ever.
I love that movie, and the fucking G.I. Joe movie from back then is awesome.
Actually, I've never
too.
Seen that.
Oh, really?
I just started rewatching the Jerry Bruckheimer inspired new ones, just so I was like, what the fuck happened in those movies?
I know, I need to watch that.
They're not good.
Rise of Cobra. I know it's terrible. But I haven't seen it.
Yeah, the Rise of Cobra, the Shit of Joe.
The Guise of Cobra.
The Erection of Hampton. The Return of Dave. The Exasperation of Georgia, my girlfriend.
You can't see, but she's standing over us shaking her head right now.
She's so mad.
Dang.
All right, so...
So this is the beginning of the end for her brain.
Dude,
go.
Let me get into a little bit more of the harassment.
Oh, I'll let you get into it.
That the FBI did. They ran a blind news item in the Los Angeles Times and Newsweek, and it got printed up everywhere. They just printed up a story that the baby she had been pregnant with her second husband...
Uh-huh.
Was actually fathered by one of the Black Panthers.
Whoa.
So they just made the story of like, she fucked a black dude and she's pregnant with this black dude's baby.
And I, for some context, I would imagine at the time, there were a lot of people in America who thought interracial dating was bad.
Yeah, it was like taboo. Yeah. And it was also like, I'm sure they didn't say black dude. They were like being way more
harsh
about it.
She fucked this panther.
Yeah, and it was also like the Black Panthers had like a pretty dangerous reputation as far as, you know, white media outlets.
Oh yeah, Chadwick Boseman, scary guy.
This is before, you know, Shaft came in and totally changed the whole movement with Superfly.
Yeah.
And, all right, so so they ran a fucking news item that her baby wasn't, you know, fathered by her husband.
By her husband. Wow, crazy.
She gets so distraught, she miscarries.
Whoa.
Literally, she miscarries the baby 2 weeks later.
The FBI killed a kid.
She really feels that way.
Wow.
Yeah. She takes it super fucking hard. And she gets a little... weird with it because like the fact
sure.
that like the like, fact that you're duh. Being driven crazy makes you do crazy things. So she held an open casket funeral for the baby.
Oh my
to
god.
Just prove that it wasn't a black baby.
Oh my god.
I know. And that but that's the weirdest it gets with
who
her.
Who books that?
Oh, my God. We are gathered here today. Oh, my God. Just sees it for the first time.
No.
What the fuck?
No. No.
I believe Louis C.K. books that gig.
Oh, yeah. It's yes, he does.
It's at the Comedy Store Cellar. Yeah. So, oh my God. So that's like the most fucked up. But I imagine also getting dragged through the press, you're a little like driven to extreme measures.
Yeah.
So she sues the publications and wins, which is good.
Yeah, sure.
It's not like a ton of money, but she does get, you know.
Doesn't matter. The win is what matters. Yeah.
Yeah, and also she doesn't really realize that she's still being blacklisted. Like, it didn't really do anything other than she stopped this weird news item that came out. And she's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
And she's like, driven really, like, insane by this a little bit. She doesn't lose her mind completely, but it becomes a reoccurring subject with her, is that the loss of this child, every year around that time, she gets really depressed. Because she thinks about how, like, this just happened. Like, she, like, had to lose this child because, like, they just made
it
up some
weird
thing.
Reminds her of 9/11. Sorry. God, I'm sorry.
All right, now apologize to the victims of 9/11.
Okay. Well, this is going to take a while.
Pete Davidson's dad. Start with that.
Oh, my God.
Then apologize to Steve Ranazzisi for making him lie.
Oh, my God. Once it gets real, I immediately cannot joke about it anymore.
Dude. Steve Ranazzisi, sorry. Right?
Man, hell yeah, dude.
Don't book him.
Two liars, one name.
Two liars. Two liars, dude.
Yeah, recover from that.
She continues to act, mostly in French cinema, sporadic things. But she's getting, you know, depressed over time, and she starts using alcohol and Valium.
I use alcohol.
I use it. I snort alcohol.
I use it to help build my home.
I butt chug it. I get it in my veins as quick as possible.
I'm a little bit of a chugged butter.
Chugged butter. Butt fucker, butt chugger, chug butter. Butt
same thing.
Fuck butter.
Man, fuck butter.
By the way, guys, we are sponsored by Fuddruckers.
We are. Welcome to Buttfuckers. Get
a
burger.
She also, in that span of time between when this happens and 9 years later where she kills herself, she also directs a short film. Like, she's pretty, you know, motivated, but she also can't stop using, and she's also, like, gets every year annually really depressed about this child.
Yeah.
But she marries again, and then I think that husband was...
Well, she never ended the funeral. That'll keep you sad. Man, I'm getting real dark this
and
episode.
That funeral, man.
Dude.
What do you think the time limit should be on a funeral? I think an hour.
You think an hour?
In, out. In and out.
In and out.
In, then you go to In and Out.
And then you go to In and Out.
And then you order then your casket, like, animal
better.
Style.
Now I'm good.
Can you make my casket animal style?
Yeah, dude. I want to be buried animal style. When, definitely put Thousand dude, Island people, and cheese on me.
When people got mad at In and Out recently for, you know, a day. Because they donated like $15,000, I don't know, some money to the Republican Party, and the people were like, boycott In-N-Out. I was like, I made some dumb tweet that was like,
here we go.
Just don't order their burgers putting children in cages like animal style.
Wow.
Putting children in cages. There you go.
That's great.
You know, hey, get rid of cribs also. No cribs. Wham, I'm a baby. I'm a baby advocate. No more cribs. Take my bib. No more cribs. I'm just trying.
I'm just trying
to make Dave.
Because I took a sip of water. I almost just spit water all over this mic. That would have been crazy. Cum shot. You know what I mean? I'm a little baby in a crib. I still sleep in a crib. Did you know that about me? It's tiny as fuck. My legs hurt. God damn. God, it sucks.
I'm not into kink shaming. I mean, if you're an adult baby, that's fine.
It's not a sex thing.
It's a pooping thing. You guys gotta understand. The reason I only have anal, it's not a sex thing. It's a pooping thing. And I wear diapers because of my prolapsed anus.
Rosebud.
What? Citizen Kane was just upset that he was rosebudding. Citizen Kane. Rosebud. He's just talking about his prolapsed anus.
Oh, man.
That was worth it to get there. Worth it to get to the top of the mountain joke. Oh, fuck.
I always wished it was Citizen Zane.
Despite all my rage, I am still just Billy Zane. There we go. Five more. Five more jokes.
Oh, man. Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. Absolutely.
What it is that you're saying, a rose budding.
All right. Rose budding.
I can't actually do it. I can't either. Do a good accent. So she had married a third time. That
boner.
That ended quickly. No, Dave. No. No boners. He is dead.
What, dude? Commitment makes me hard.
She was.
I love it when people engage in a marital contract, dude. I'm like,
here's what I find really weird. She committed suicide. Weird. What a bitch.
What is happening?
I was trying to get back on track, and then I realized how insane you're being. Like Billy Zane. When she killed herself was August 30th. When her baby had died was August 25th. So a lot of people believe that she was really despondent, again, at the anniversary of her child dying. And she had previously tried to commit suicide around that anniversary before. So
it's like
a real thing. Yeah, it's like Jesus. She gets like upset leading up to it after, you know, it's like it's trauma that she just can't kind of drink herself out of. So she's kind of losing it a little bit. And then this is where I think it's just really confusing, as I'm saying, is that she was found 9 days later after she killed herself in the backseat of her car, wrapped in a blanket, and there were like pill jars of barbiturates. So she had taken them, and she wrote a note to a child that she had from her first marriage that was still alive, and it was like, I'm so sorry. Actually, I'd like to
read the note. That's interesting. I mean, you hadn't brought up that kid before. Was that kid in her life? Was she taking care of the kid?
I don't think it was like, well, I looked and I don't actually know. Okay. I can't really guess to really the relationship that she had with her son. And I don't know. She sounds like she worked in a lot of movies, so she probably had to have someone watching her.
Yeah, if she,
if not at school, you know.
That's just an interesting development to me in her life. Not that it really, it just paints a bigger picture. Like,
it's weird because it's like, I think the focus is this smear campaign that the FBI conducted, which led to the loss of her child, which became a hanging trauma anniversary for her.
Sure.
I'm not saying and of course, as we always say, like, this isn't the why she committed suicide.
Right.
She had depression, and she was also taking chemicals. You know, she was drinking and taking Valium.
Changing the chemicals in her brain, which make you feel differently. Yeah, I just thought, like, maybe there was an added stressor if this kid was at home and being taken care of by nannies, or if like there was some custody battle and the father had this kid and she never knew it.
He was being taken care of by the nanny, Fran Drescher.
Oh.
Can you believe
it? That's right.
Was that Family Guy?
No, that was the nanny. Come on.
What?
Yep. Check it out.
Steven or whatever his name was.
Peter.
Peter.
Lawish. I guess you can be the nanny. Anyway, so the note she did leave, suicide note, was to her son. So she think about him a lot. So she wrote, "Forgive me, I can no longer live with my nerves."
Man, that's the whole note.
It was
note?
To her son. Yeah, yeah.
Book.
So
damn, that is such a
yeah.
That is such a short note that hit me so hard. Truly, like,
yeah,
I can, because I can relate to that feeling. That's crazy.
I think it's like also I don't want to say the career was floundering, but I think she just felt like she couldn't understand what was going on. And like, you know, you don't. Dude. And also people are actively for a period of time of a couple years are harassing her. And there's fake news stories about her. And
dude,
she's just like, what
years go
fuck?
By like where she's just like filled with anxiety and hating herself all the time. And it felt to her like it wasn't going to end.
Yeah.
Probably at a certain point, you like it's happened so much that you start to think you deserve it.
Yeah. And I mean, none of that's, you know, justified, of course, because it's in a haze of chemicals.
Yeah.
So really the lesson is to, you know, do not be overusing, because it's no wonder you feel depressed when you're taking depressants.
Yeah.
You
know, like, well, this is also a thing I think to talk about with how the world works now, especially entertainment and politics and activism. Like we're a part of that part of Twitter, which is like the biggest part of Twitter, which is like you fucking drag people, you freak out on people, and it, you know,
I don't ever want to be a person who sympathizes more. I'm not referring to people who did something awful and get dragged. I'm talking about what you just said about In-N-Out. Like, people like lose their mind on someone for a day, and the feeling of being that person is horrifying. And then if it's happens for an extended period of time, this like that the possibility of that happening to me fucking up and the internet freaking out on me has stopped me from writing things online. Because I have such
pro NRA rants.
Yeah, totally. literally that kind of joke is what stops me from talking about this. Because people are like, why? Are you in the MRA? Yeah. Are you fucking, you hate women, you piece of shit? But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so one thing that I'm trying really hard to do lately is to internalize the reality that what other people say doesn't matter. And like you said this recently to me off mic, like you said something like, come at me, man. I'm ready for people to come at me because I believe in everything I said. And I think that is not only commendable but like and impressive, but like what we all need to be trying to do. Because
it's hard though when you're trying to be sarcastic, for sure. Sarcasm's kind of the lowest form of humor, I find.
Sure.
Because it's really like being like, it's just like not like right. You're saying something insincerely. So it's a balancing act. It's a really hard thing to pull off well.
No, it definitely is. Yeah. But I mean, like, I think for everyone now, because of how connected we all are on the internet, it's possible for what happened to her at a lower level to happen to anyone. Just some group decides, fuck you, for whatever reason. Like that woman who lost her job because she said something shitty on a plane. I don't remember what it was.
You know, and this is a thing is, you know, she's from America, and I think the resentment and stuff, she just was like, fuck it, I'm gonna stay in France. Like, I hate like how America kind of treats me.
Yeah.
And France is not, they're not like gonna be like, you had sex with a black man? Like, that would be crazy. Like, you know, like whatever the implication was of that article by them running that sort of thing.
Totally. I mean, yeah, I'm just, it's funny that parallel draws to, I think, a lot of people. She got it the worst, the FBI doing it to you, fake articles. I mean, that's crazy. But I don't know if you're listening, I hope you like, I don't know. This is an era where we have to take care of our mental health a great deal, because that, I just think anyone, the world talking about you like you're a piece of shit, that would hurt anyone.
Yeah, but I would also point out that this is also like very real harassment also.
Yes,
this is
you're
like
right.
This is like targeted, you know, attacks by the state.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're also getting that public perception bullshit, but then it's like, Jesus Christ. Anybody like calling you and like
right, I forgot about that.
We're
going to
expose
part.
You in bullshit. Is
right.
Like,
well, to the point
up.
Where you miscarried a kid.
And apparently Nixon was kept updated on what they were doing with her.
Jesus.
Like her and Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda had the same thing happen to her.
Whoa.
But not, I think, on that same level, but like
Frankie?
Black Gracie's friend?
I don't know if she's Grace.
Is it
or Frankie
and Gracie, or is it?
It's Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frankie. Sorry. Sorry.
I don't remember.
I apologize to them.
I think actually Jane Fonda might be Grace, and what's her nuts is
what's
Frankie.
What's her tits? You know, I watched a little bit of it. It's
Liv
okay,
Tyler.
But I don't know. Wasn't that interested?
You don't like Baron Vaughn, huh?
Hate him, dude. So it sounds like her second husband was kind of like a really, that was the dude who challenged Clint Eastwood to a fight, you know, and was like very passionate. And he was like a huge French like public persona. Like
really?
He was a diplomat and he was a famous French author. He won an award in France.
It was Pepe Le Pew.
Dude. Pepe Le Pubes.
Whoa! I can't believe it was always there.
It was right there.
It was there the whole time.
Oh, man. Solid comedy bits. Thank God we're recording this onto a gold record we're sending into space. So
yeah,
aliens
man.
Can listen to this.
We're going to sell this one to Billboard.
Well, he was so good at writing, I guess, French literature, that they awarded him a prize that you can only get once in a lifetime. It means, like, you are one of the best French authors.
Wow.
You can only get it once.
It's a gravestone.
So what he did was he then came up with a pseudonym and wrote more books, and then it won.
No way.
And then at his deathbed, Sorry, in his suicide note.
He also killed himself?
He committed suicide a year after Gene. He killed himself. They'd been divorced for a while. And in his suicide note, he writes, "This isn't because of Gene killing herself last year. And I am this author."
Whoa.
And he like confesses to that. And
what's
then
his name?
And then he shot himself in the head. His name is Romain Gary.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was like a famous French author, and he's the only French author to ever technically win this prize twice, that you're only allowed to get once in a lifetime. So he sounds like a real fucked up weirdo guy. Her third husband sounds like abusive and like mean, and Clint Eastwood sounds like a complete like, you know, soulless shithead who yells at chairs. So I don't know if the men in her life were really, you know, putting her up or doing a good job. I think they're mostly hooking just making her life way more difficult.
With Clint Eastwood sounds so awful. I love you, punk.
I love you, punk.
Fuck my butt, punk.
God. Fuck my butt, punk.
You're probably asking yourself right now, did I fuck his butt or did he fuck my butt? Well, what's it going to be? You're going to fuck my butt, punk. You feel lucky, punk, with the butt fucking. You think you're going to prolapse my anus?
You feel lucky enough to fuck my butt?
Rosebud. Punk. I tell you.
Rosebud.
My anus can fit a .45 Magnum.
Yeah.
It's the strongest gun on earth.
Clint Eastwood Kane.
I love
it. Clint Eastwood sounds kind of like Citizen.
There it is. That's all I have on her.
God, man, that was really good, dude.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for doing that.
Hey, if you're a government in the 1960s, don't harass women.
Not cool, dude.
Not cool.
Also, take care of yourselves, please. Like Hanton said a little earlier, all those things happened, and all of those things would make it hard for anyone.
Make it hard for anyone.
So close to the end of the sentence. I was trying to reinforce that, like,
yeah,
having depression is a big part of what took her there, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it, you know, the thing is, it's like you can, of course, you know, have depression in your lifetime, but it's like when you're taking depressants, that's clearly a fucking problem. And she self-OD'd. I mean, she knew what that drug was doing to her.
Yeah.
She knew where it could go. And it was a bad decision.
Anyway, sign up for our Patreon.
Guys, we have Patreon episodes. We did an episode. We usually do fun movie suicides, or we read emails.
Yeah, it's either a movie suicide or a listener email.
And we also are trying to put up more content just on the Patreon, like ringtones and stuff. So if you guys sign up for the Patreon, there's price levels.
There's tiers, dude.
There's tiers. There's normal level all the way up to Saudi prince level.
I think last week we talked about In Bruges on our bonus episode. We do two full bonus episodes a month, and then there's other shit. We don't have a bonus episode coming out this week, but there's one coming out next week.
Yeah.
It's patreon.com/suicidebuddies. Hope you join us there. And thanks so much for listening to the show. You guys are the fucking best.
Yeah.
Keep emailing us, buddiesbuddiesbuddies@gmail.com. We love to hear from you.
Oh, by the way, this episode was a suggestion from a
listener.
Yeah.
From the Titanic?
From the Titanic.
Wow.
Billy Zane recommended it, dude.
Damn.
All right. I'm starting to burp. Let's
bye.
Bye, guys.
Hey, folks. This is Hampton here, and I know that Dave and I tend to make a lot of jokes about suicide, and we don't take it that lightly, actually. We really would prefer, if you needed any sort of help, that you would reach out to some sort of professional who could help you, because we are poorly equipped to do such. We would recommend that you would call 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. They honestly do incredible work. They will talk to you and they will hear you. We want you to stay with us. So, thank you.
Somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play Hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.